Scripture reading today is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing.
Amen. Pray without ceasing. Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. Yeah, today we're talking a little bit about reconnecting the family through prayer. Reconnecting the family through prayer. How many of you pray often? Raise your hand if you pray often. All right, I see some hands. How many of you pray every day? Still want to see the hands. All right, that's very good. How many of you would say you pray 2 times a day, 3 times a day, multiple times throughout the day? All right, that's very good. I'm still seeing some witnesses. Now, we had a scripture reading that, you know, Ginger nicely read for us, and it says, pray without ceasing. Does that mean that we should just kneel down all day and just pray all day? Is that what God is calling us to? I see one person saying, yes, and I think I agree with that one person who's saying, because if we kneel all day to pray, then we'll get nothing else done, right? And Ellen White famously said that he who does nothing but pray will soon cease to pray, right? As a matter of fact, if you kneel and pray all day, you cannot keep the fourth commandment. Amen? Because the fourth commandment says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. See, it's a two-part. In the fourth commandment, there are two parts to it. And sometimes, you know, we've emphasized the rest part so much that we forget that it also says we should go out and work 6 days, you know. And if everybody works 6 days per week, there would be less laziness and less crime around, don't you think? More people would go to work and work a hard day's work, then come in, they'll have time to rest and not to go commit crime. Amen? I guess we need to talk more about the Sabbath commandment to people, right? And place emphasis on the working part as well. Prayer. Reconnecting the family through prayer. And I have it on screen for you today. This is the year of Vision 2020. And this is the year when we're encouraging every member to each one reach one for Christ. That means each person present here today will this year, by God's grace, lead at least one other person to commit to Christ, to get baptized, and to join this church. What do you say? Do you think that is possible by the help of the Holy Spirit? Do you think that is possible in partnership with Christ? I think so. I think Christ's grace is sufficient. And I think it is the will of God that we reach more than one. You know, but we like to start at the basics. So the only place we can go is up. Amen? We can improve. We can increase. We can grow. So this is the year of Vision 2020. And I think in a serious way, everybody can say this year that they're seeing with Vision 2020. Amen? This is the year. This is the year. And so I want to take the moment to welcome each person here today. It's always good when we can come to God's house. We can fellowship with one another, and we can meet in the presence of Jesus Christ. So let us nurture those who are already here. That's a part of the work God has given us to do, to nurture each other. Another point he says is that we should evangelize others for Christ. Is that true? Yes, we are called to evangelize, and we should train all for heaven. Amen? Amen. So net others, nurture, evangelize, and train. And so let us inspire hope with all people with whom we come in contact. Whether we are at school, we're in the workplace, or we're in the place of our socialization, whether it's shopping or other things. Let us inspire hope in others. Let us get bold for Christ. Let us also discover Bible truth together. Invite people to study the Bible with you. And remember, you don't always have to have all the answers. None of us does anyway. But we can always go look the things up, research the topics from the scriptures, and we can come back with answers for them. Amen? So let us discover Bible truth together, and let us be positioned for eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, Christ is coming back. And if we believe it, Christ is coming. And if we don't believe it, still Christ is coming. Amen? If we are ready, Jesus is coming. And still, if we are not ready, Jesus is still coming. It is the truth. And so I like to take the point to just remind people and to remind each of you here that God loves you. He surely does. And all you have to do is to reflect on Calvary. Reflect on what Jesus did for us. Remember, God doesn't need us, does he? But we need God, do we? The human race is just about 6,000 years old, right? But God is from eternity past. We can't even imagine that properly. He was always without us. But in his mind, 6,000 years ago, God decided that he wants another new creation called human beings. And so he made us. So I just want you to know today that God really loves you. He certainly does. Amen? Reconnecting the family through prayer. Let's pray. Father and our God, we stop one more time to just recognize, to invite, and to cherish your presence in this place. After all, this is the house of God. And above all the other things you've said, Lord, you've decided to call your house the house of prayer. We have come here to worship you today. And we pray that our hearts will be fully surrendered to you now. We will learn of you, be drawn close to you. And truly, Lord, the matchless love of Christ will be fully attracted to you. Jesus, clothe us in your righteousness. Thank you for your ministry in our behalf in the heavenly sanctuary. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your great work among us, for being over the work. We pray now that we'll worship you, living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in spirit and in truth. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. You know, Adam and Eve were the first family. For them, as the authentic record of Adam's reaction suggests, it was love at first sight. Amen? God was both the giveaway dad and marriage officer for that happy couple's perfect wedding day. Genesis chapter 2 is where the authentic record survives. Verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And by the way, you know that here in the United States, one of the most highly paid profession is for those who are anesthesiologists. It's one of the highest paid profession. Well, I want you to know that God was the first anesthesiologist. He caused Adam to be in a deep sleep. And I mean, make no mistake, God doesn't make any error. You also know that anesthesiologists, they have to have very special insurance coverage. Because in one mistake in their practice, you're done. I've read the story of an athlete, a great soccer player, which is my sport, over in France. And in the 1970s, his anesthesiologist was going to perform a very simple surgery, but put the drugs in the wrong vein. And that man is sleeping since 1970. He hasn't woken up yet. Since 1970. They keep him alive. Just perhaps someday they might have a drug to wake him up. He was a famous player over in France. Well, I want to let you know that God does not make these or any kind of mistake. Amen? And so the Bible says the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. Adam slept. And he, that's God, took one of his, Adam's ribs, and closed up the flesh in its place. And by the way, a number of you may be familiar with Ellen White quote on this particular text. Her little commentary, right? She says, God did not take the bone from Adam's head so the woman should rule over him. Neither did he take the bone from Adam's foot that Adam should trample upon her. He took the bone from his side, making her one his equal. Yep, that's a direct quote there. I said it as best as I could say the words. Yes. God made male and female equal. And today's society, I think, need to be reminded of that. There are roles, it's true. God has given roles. I haven't seen any man, and there will never be a man who can bear a child. I don't care what science does. It's always a female-born woman who bears a child. Amen? Amen. Still God's plan. So here God put Adam to a deep sleep and took a rib from him. And from that rib, you know, it says he closed up the rib in its place. That's what God did. Close the rib up in its place. And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. He brought her. The giveaway, Dad. See, I'm not making the story up. He brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Amen. I think Adam began to wax eloquently there, you know. Bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And verse 24 says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Amen. Is this still God's design today?
Yes.
It certainly is. As a matter of fact, Jesus repeated this text in Matthew chapter 19. Jesus repeated this same text there. You can look it up. Yep. And this was the question when they asked him, "Should a man divorce his wife for every cause?" And he said, "No, from the beginning it was not so." And then Jesus went into quoting Genesis chapter 2. Yes. So here it is that a man shall leave his father and mother, and who shall he join to? His wife. In other words, it is always God's plan that people get married before they live together. And in today's society, it's becoming more and more confused because the great big stars are the idols, the TV personalities. They are the ones so many people follow their examples, but we want to always take our example from the Bible. Amen? We want to follow God and not man. This is God's ideal. You know, that is the God-inspired narrative of how we got here. He made Adam and Eve and gave them the power to procreate, and that's how we're here. And I don't know, man. I don't think it takes faith to believe in evolution. I think it's foolish. Yeah, evolution is, it's barbarian. Yeah, I don't see how a human being can proceed from a monkey. I don't see it. You know, I think Darwin was heavily tricked. He was deceived by the enemy of all righteousness. And people still today who think that they are so smart, I don't care how much PhD a guy has, a person has. If they believe we came from monkey, they're a fool. The Bible says in Psalm 14 verse 1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And evolution and creation are just not compatible. Amen. They are two opposite. One is from heaven and one is from the pits of hell. Creation is God's story. God tells us he created us. And we still see God's work of creation today. Because when we hear the word of God, it generates in us God's creative power. Amen? But there is not one shred of evidence anywhere in all this planet for evolution. Not one. Not the slightest iota. But creation story, we still see it reflected. Amen? And so, this is the God-inspired narrative in Genesis 2 of how we got here. Adam and Eve were grown adults on their first day of life. Have you thought about that? On day one, they were a grown man and a grown woman. First day of life. But remember now that they came fresh from the hand of the Creator, which means they were perfect. They were giants in many ways. And, you know, when compared to even any genius that now exists on the earth, intellectually, physically, mentally, spiritually, and morally, etc., they were far superior than anyone living on earth now. Yes, they had open communion and conversations with God. Today we call those kind of communications and conversations prayer. We call it prayer now. In Genesis 3 and verse 8, the Bible says, "And they," that's Adam and Eve, "and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." You know, I get the feeling that Adam and Eve were very familiar with the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. You know, theologians call it theophany, the God walk. It seemed like God had established a pattern of regularity in time and place to meet with them. Yes? But unlike other times when they were glad to meet with God, this time they went into hiding. But who can successfully hide anything from God, including themselves? Just ask Adam and Eve. Ask Jonah or David. David actually says in Psalm 139, 7 to 10, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell," that's the grave, "behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." Amen? And in reality, we don't want to be running away from God anyway. We could end up in the belly of a great fish if we try to run away from God. And to add to your surprise, when we go to God, don't we find him very merciful? He is. With God, there is truth and mercy. The text once more says, "They heard a sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." What time is the cool of the day? So like in the evening after a nice day's work and things begin to cool off. Kind of like our bodies. We need to cool down to about, what, 67 degrees to fall off to sleep? Yes. Cooling off. And so it says that Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And so as I was saying earlier, God is about establishing a pattern of regularity in time and place for us to meet with him. And that's why we are here today. It's a part of that rhythm of regularity. And you know, once in every 7 days, there's this general assembly of all the believers. True, we meet midweek as well for Bible study and prayer meeting time. And that's a time when more of us should make it a priority to come on out and enjoy that time of fellowship. Amen? But at least on the Sabbath, we ought to meet in this general assembly. God calls it holy convocation, and we should meet. And you've heard the saying, in which there is great truth, that the family that prays together stays together. Amen? So if we don't pray together enough, more and more we're going to pull apart. We need to pray together so we can stay together. Fellowship in prayer. Fellowship in the study of God's word. Fellowship is very important. Christian fellowship. As a matter of fact, when you read the book of Acts, the disciples were meeting every day. Every day. They were meeting up. And I can tell you today that if my wife and I were not praying together, I know that our marriage and our family life would have long fallen apart. And I don't have to ask you about yours, because I know the truth is going to be the same. Every one of us inside this room is born with a terrible sinful nature. And it is selfish. Apart from Christ, we're just going to want to please me. But in Christ, we get to look out for one another. Amen? That's the difference. Yes. So we have determined to listen for the sound of the Lord God walking among us, as well as we ourselves walking with the Lord our God. Amen? Yes. In my home, the family devotional time comes alive every morning. In the evenings, my wife does the stories with the children. Because many evenings I am out in the mission field, you know. On Sabbath mornings, we often enhance the home atmosphere by playing select sacred music as we get ready for church. And even in the journey to church, we do that too. Yes. My first moments of consciousness each day is spent in prayer. How about you? Most times I do this while I am still laying down. Yes. I pray for myself. Because it's true, there's no use praying for others if I'm not consecrated to God myself. Amen? So I start by praying for myself. And by the way, that's not being selfish. That's being responsible. Yes, I pray for myself. And then, yes? That's right. It is our God-given responsibility. And then the next person I pray for my wife. Then I pray for my children. I pray for my family of origin. I pray for my family that I am married into. And guess what? I pray for you. I pray for you. Yes. In our family devotional time, we pray for each congregation that we minister to. We pray for our neighbors by name. We pray for fellow pastors and church members all over this conference and for the worldwide remnant church of God. We spread our prayers outward. Amen. At times, individual names and individual families are vividly brought to our attention by the Holy Spirit. So we pray earnestly for them. Request made in our hearing, like a church today, right? Or through direct personal request, we pray for those too. Reconnecting the family through prayer. Even before we got married, and during our premarital counseling, something I recommend for everyone who is considering marriage with a godly counselor. During that time, we established God's DINO ideal. You know what DINO stands for? Divorce is no option. Amen? We are all in, and death is the only way out. Amen? Otherwise, the second coming of Christ will disrupt our marriage and neutralize our marriage and make us friends again. Amen? So divorce is no option. And so our family text is Joshua 24 verse 15. And this is where Joshua says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which are on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Yes. That's our family text. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "And Sharon, pray without ceasing." Pray. We have to pray. And I want to let you know that the battle is won at home. Amen. The battle for our own souls. The battle for our children. The battle for our society. The battle for our church. The battle for this world is won at home. And I've told you before, and I want to remind you today, the church at church is only as strong as the church at home. Amen? Amen. Ah, and I see someone get a real good laugh because someone here knows where this one came from. You know, a church member sitting right here today sent me this one. I thought, it really makes the point. So the one monkey says to the other, "You need the Holy Spirit to go to heaven." Is that true for all of us? Yes. But the one guy still responds and says, "You know what, man, not only to go to heaven, I need the Holy Spirit to go to Walmart." It is true. I mean, there are so many challenges in this world. If you're in the school, they're coming at you with evolution. They're coming at you with alternative lifestyle and alternate families. They're coming at you with that stuff in the school. Plus just the negative influence of peers. Remember, your peers are real persons too, coming from real homes. And too many of our homes today are broken homes. So a lot of our little children experience a lot of brokenness. And so they're going to share that in whatever space they find themselves. And so we need the Holy Spirit to go into the schools. And it especially so when you're in the public schools. But I want to tell you, I went to Adventist school too. And you need the Holy Spirit to be in the Adventist schools too. As a matter of fact, whatever you're looking for, you'll find it in the Adventist schools. But at least they embrace creation in the Adventist school. And they teach openly about God. So that's good. That's an advantage. Amen? That's an advantage. Yes. In the Review and Herald, May 5, 1896, the Lord's prophet to the remnant church would say this. The measure of the Holy Spirit, I think you know this one, Sharon. The measure of the Holy Spirit we receive will be proportioned to the measure of our desire and the faith exercised for it and the use we shall make of the light and knowledge that shall be given to us. In other words, we will receive the Holy Spirit in direct proportion to our desire and faith to receive the Holy Spirit. And so, if you go back to the day of Pentecost, how did the disciples receive the early rain of the Holy Spirit? Did they just sit twiddling the thumb and just waiting for the Spirit to show up? No. What were they doing? They were praying. And for how long were they praying? For 10 straight days. From the day Jesus left earth to go back to heaven until 10 days later when the Spirit came, they were praying for 10 straight days, and their one mission was to be right with God. No longer who was going to sit on the right or who was going to sit on the left in the kingdom. No longer who has this position or that position. No longer who had the most money or the most expensive house or cars or the finest suits or the finest foods. Their one desire was to be fully surrendered to God, to be fully in the will of God. And the Lord honored their 10 days of praying. And Pentecost came, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. We need Holy Spirit singles. So even if you're unmarried, we need Holy Spirit singles. Amen? We need Holy Spirit filled children. Amen? We need Holy Spirit filled spouses in marriage. And whether you're a widow or a widower, you need to be filled with the Spirit. Amen? God wants all his children to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because unless we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we cannot be sealed for eternity. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit himself does the sealing work. Amen? Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, by whom whereunto you are sealed unto the day of redemption. He does the sealing work. And so here, we will receive the Holy Spirit directly proportionate to the measure of our desire and our faith exercised for receiving this infilling. Paul says it. I bring it to you once more. Pray without ceasing. And in the book, A Call to Stand Apart, page 26, still Ellen White, she says, prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Not that prayer is necessary in order to make known to God what we are, but in order to enable us to receive him. Amen? Prayer does not bring God down to us, but brings us up to him. That's what prayer does. And by the way, do you think there's a difference between praying and saying prayers? It is boasted that there are three monotheistic religions: Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. That's the boast. But I was shocked to realize that of the three, it's only in Christianity we actually pray prayers. In the other two, they say prayers. It's a recital of set words and set forms. Man, when I discovered that, I was shocked, literally. Because for me, praying is reaching out and talking with God about what's going on now. That's praying. I am not repeating somebody's words. It's true, we repeat the Lord's Prayer, which is the model prayer. It's a model. But that's not what we pray all the time, is it? We pray real prayers. We talk to God. When I open my heart to a friend, I don't go repeat something rote, ceremonial, and just say the same thing every time. No, we have real conversations about what is happening here and now in time and space. Yes. And this is the idea. We talk to God so we can share with him what is our burdens, what are our joys, what are our thanksgiving and our praises, what bothers us. We share with God and we listen for him talking back to us. And by the way, what is the safest way we know that God is speaking to us? Oh, the Bible. And then you had the addendum, the spirit of prophecy added to that. Yes, God speaks to us in the primacy of his word. The primacy of his word. Because man, I've heard many people say God is talking to them, but when I match what they're saying with the word, it doesn't match up. So I know it's not God speaking. And even sometimes we ourselves can have so intense desires that we speak to ourselves and think it's God talking to us. So we have to judge whatever it is by the word of God. Amen? And make sure that it is God's talking and not ourselves convincing ourselves that it's God's talking. Right? Yes. Yeah, we seek to please God. So I like this one. It says, prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Not that it is necessary in order to make known to God what we are, but in order to enable us to receive him. Prayer does not bring God down to us, but brings us up to him. Call to Stand Apart, page 26. And then this was perhaps the favorite text of my Greek teacher in undergrad. Was a text I knew, but it even gained new significance having sat through his Greek class and having played this up time and time again. He always encouraged prayer, you know. And he was from Haiti, by the way. My undergrad Greek teacher was from Haiti. Yes. And so, here it says, so Jesus answered and said to them, what should we do? Have faith in God. Can you hear Jesus saying that to you today? February 8, 2020. Can you hear God saying that to you, to have faith in God? Can you hear Jesus saying that? Yes, that which he said to them back then, it is even more powerful for us now. Paul says, upon whom the ends of the world have come. Have faith in God. What else? Verse 23, Jesus says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And at this time, people in the very audience that Jesus addressed with these words, they believed that the earth sat on pillars. Mountains, they sat on pillars. And if you remove those pillars, then the entire mountain would disintegrate. And so Jesus was putting their faith to the extremity, was encouraging faith to the very extreme. He says, if you have faith, you can say to this mountain, be removed. And whatever the ideas that were holding up those mountains, it would move. And it wouldn't disintegrate. Have faith in God. Pray believing with all your heart. To have strong families, we need prevailing faith. I'm going to pull one from Ellen White then to make the point even clearer for you. She says, how few know what it means. This is in early writings. If you start at about page 54, that's where you'll find this reference. She says, how few know what it is to pray till every power is on the stretch. Every power. You pray till you feel like you can't pray anymore. Till every power is on the stretch. And she talks about this is the kind of faith we're going to need as we go through the time of trouble. She says, a faith that will be able to endure weariness, hunger, delay. Pray till we have every power on the stretch. Persevering faith. Faith that will not fail, though severely tried, she said in that same quote. Faith, strong faith, earnest faith. And so here Jesus says, when you pray like this, believing that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Of course, this whatever is always in context of the will of God. Like Jesus himself prayed. He prayed to the stretch. He prayed till his sweat became as great drops of blood. And in the end, what did he say? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus was determined to please God. And if we're going to have strongly connected families, we have to be families of prayer. You know, think about the experience of having a spouse that is not in church with you. You know, and I've seen it over my years in ministry. And what I've encouraged, most of the times, it's always a wife whose husband is not a member. And I've encouraged wives, be importunate in prayer. That word, I borrowed it from Ellen White. She talked about importunate prayer. This is prayer where you stretch your faith to the limit. You give it everything. And when you begin to pray in secret for your spouse and watch your God begin to bring their hearts alive to the gospel. I've seen it done before. And I encourage families to stand strong. You have adult children who've wandered away from Christ. There's still warm blood coursing through their veins. There's still oxygen flowing through their lungs and being. Don't give up. Pray till you have everything on the stretch. Pray for them every day. And you know what I do? You know, when I became a Seventh-day Adventist and understood this message, I began praying for my family. And I told her before, it took 16 years for my mother to budge. But I never give up praying because I know the importance of being a part of God's remnant Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed some more and I prayed. Sometimes all night I spend in prayer. And days of fasting, praying like it matters. One point says we should pray like their salvation is dependent upon our prayer. Pray for them with that earnestness. Bear that burden for their soul. And, you know, even though it took 16 years, my mother got baptized. And my brother, the one I follow, and six other very close family members. Eight of them one time. God honored my praying for all these years. And I want to tell you, don't give up praying. As long as the person is alive, don't give up praying. Amen? Press home your prayer in faith, and God will give you the victory. And now it says in verse 24, Jesus says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Jesus says so. And in Child Guidance, page 185, I like this one. Ellen White says, build a fortification. Think about a military fort. He said, build a fortification of prayer and faith about your children and exercise diligent watching thereunto. That means you look out, you're on guard. Yes, you are protecting your children, you are cultivating, you are building a fort of prayer and faith about your children. That's a call. Child Guidance, page 185. Here's another one for you. Manuscript 12, written 1895. A well-ordered, a well-disciplined family in the sight of God is more precious than fine gold. Even than the golden wedge of Ophir. Yes. A well-ordered, well-disciplined family is better than all the money Wall Street can trade down there. Or Downing Street over in England or any other monetary system in the world. A well-ordered, well-disciplined family. Greatest witness in favor of the gospel. And that's what God wants for us. Desire of Ages, page 668. To pray in Christ's name means much. It means that we are to accept his character, manifest his spirit, and work his works. Amen. Amen. And I'm coming down to a close. Volume 5 of the Testimony to the Church, page 181. And this was addressing a particular brother, but the principle is still true to us. Isn't that true? I mean, Paul wrote the book of Thessalonians to the Thessalonians, but we still read it today. It was an epistle to them. He wrote the books of Corinthians to the Corinthians. You know, the Old Testament scriptures are written to the Old Testament church. But it still applies, doesn't it? And so here Ellen White was counseling this brother, and the principle applies to us. You fail to carry through what you undertake. You have not disciplined yourself to regularity. There goes that term, regularity. System is everything. In other words, order. Do but one thing at a time and do that well, finishing it before you begin a second piece of work. And then the real point is this last portion. It says, you should have regular hours for rising, for praying, and for eating. Yes? Regularity. Regularity. It worked for us in every discipline of life. Physically, mentally, spiritually. This is what God wants for us. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, boys, well, at least boy and girls, God wants us to be connected through prayer. And here at the Elmira Church, we want to renew our time of praying together. Have any of you heard about 10:15? Yes. That's where we are encouraging the church, every church member and guest who come here alike, to spend a minimum of 10 minutes in prayer every day. Minimum. You'll find that 10 minutes will slide by really easily when you really begin to talk with God. But we're encouraging you to spend a minimum of 10 minutes in prayer. We're encouraging you to spend a minimum of 15 minutes each day studying the Word of God. And again, when you dig into that Word, 15 minutes will go by in a wink. And after a while you realize that, man, this thing is really sweet. The Word of God is sweet. Talking with God in prayer is powerful. God wants this for you. And the more you do this, the more you will be equipped. The more you will be trained. The more you will be engaged in the disciplines to make more disciples for Christ. You know, Katie, God loves each of you here. And he wants each of you to be strong in him. He wants us to be ready for his glorious soon coming. And Jesus is appealing to our hearts to surrender everything to him. Yeah, he's there in the heavenly sanctuary, a depiction there, artwork depicting. He's ministering in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. And he's coming back soon. Are we benefiting as much as we can from Christ's ministry in the heavenly sanctuary? We just finished studying the book of Revelation chapter 5. And verse 8 talks about how the incense is the prayer of the saints. Represented there in Revelation 5:8 as being collected in vials by ministering angels. God loves to hear from us. Amen. My final text to you today is Malachi 3:16. The Bible says, and they that feared the Lord spake often one with another, and the Lord heard and hearkened and recorded it in his book of remembrance. The Lord likes when we talk with one another and encourage one another. We're going to close our service today and we want to sing one of those hymns. Number 655. Happy the home when God is there. And love fills every breast when one their wish and one their prayer and one their heavenly rest. Number 655. Let's stand together. O God and our gracious Father in heaven, our precious Lord and High Priest, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit the Comforter, Heavenly God, Divine Three, we worship you right now, Lord, and just ask that we will be reconnected through prayer as individual families, and as the church family of the living God. Father, help us to draw close to you. With each passing day, help us to draw even the more closer to you. And Father, help us to redeem the time. Help us to acknowledge the time. Help us to know the time that it is high time for us to awake out of sleep to put on Christ's beautiful garment and to walk in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Father, clothe us in your own character, and may we have great reverence for you, great respect for you, great honor for you, and may each day, may we worship you each day in spirit and in truth. Please, Lord, take away our sins at this time. Remove all of our selfishness and unrighteousness from us. Fill us with the character and the love and the graces of Christ. And Father, baptize us with your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. Amen.